right before we were about to start worship. Are we up and running, Chip? No? Okay, well, we'll still make our way through the announcements, of which we have quite a few. I have been working on the bulletin the last couple of weeks, and I've made a couple of accidental omissions. There are just some things that Latifa puts in there without really my being aware of it. I just see it in there. And that is on the prayer list. I have forgotten to put the family of Joanne Turner. Joanne died about a week and a half ago, actually maybe 2 weeks ago today, of a heart attack up at Forsyth Hospital. And the funeral was a week ago Thursday at J.C. Green. So please continue to hold her family in prayer. We are grateful that Bob is with us this morning. Bob had a bit of a scary week. He was rushed to the hospital with some heart fluttering. He's doing well. He's here, which is amazing. And this coming week, at some point, we don't know when yet, you will have a heart ablation. So please hold Bob in your prayers. And Kim too, because it's awfully scary to have your loved one go through something like that. Also, didn't make it on the prayer list this week, but Sandra Vaughn is having surgery Wednesday, and so she asked that you hold her in prayer as well. We have a few birthdays this week: James Palmer, Joanne Black, and Megan Murphy. Let's pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand and comfort them when they are discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. I have a couple cards to read. Whoops. This is from Adam Watts, grandson of Frank and Janine. Dear members of Holly Grove Lutheran Church, thank you so much for the blanket for Veterans Day. I'm honored to receive it and know that you have all prayed over the blanket for me. Special thanks to Mrs. Palmer for knitting it. Thanks again, Adam Watts. Our prayer shawls continue to be a remarkable part of our mission and ministry in the world. And we have two to pray over this morning. One is for Shirley Frank, sister-in-law to Herbert and Debbie, who has a myriad of health concerns, but this week is having her leg amputated. So we hold Shirley in our hearts and prayers. And Paula Laban, who, yes, is a Duke fan, is a dear friend of James and Marie, and she has a really long and arduous cancer battle ahead of her. Let us pray. God, we give you thanks for the gift of prayer, that any time we come to you, you are ready and willing to hear us with love and compassion. We lift up both Shirley and Paula, who are struggling with their health and their bodies, who have long journeys ahead of them. We ask that you would be with them, that you would bring them comfort and peace, that you would remind them that you are with them, always and no matter what. We ask that these prayer shawls would be a blessing to them, that when they are wrapped and covered in these, that they would feel the weight of the love and care that we here at Holly Grove have for them. In Jesus' name, amen. Chip, how we doing? Nada? Okay. Just a couple more announcements. Your 2021 contribution statements are in your mailboxes. Please make sure that you check your mail before you leave today. The 6th, which is next Sunday, are the annual audits. If you are a treasurer of an account here at Holly Grove, please make sure that you have that on your calendar. In 2 weeks, Super Bowl Sunday, we are having soup Herbal Sunday. I'm going to put signs up after worship today. We want to tackle hunger. So in 2 weeks, the 13th, if you will bring non-perishable food items to help us stock the blessing box to tackle hunger, Super Bowl Sunday. Are there any other announcements? Well, I hate that our folks online are not able to join us, but we will continue to worship. So let us prepare our hearts as we listen to the prelude. By his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
The whole world.
Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, increase in us the gifts of faith, hope, and love, and that we may obtain what you promise, make us love what you command, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
The first reading is from the first chapter of Jeremiah. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you to a prophet to the nations. Then I said, Ah, God, Lord God, truly I do not know how to speak, for I am only a boy. But the Lord said to me, Do not say I am only a boy, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and you shall speak whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, Now I put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and over kingdoms, to pluck up and to pull out, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. The word of the Lord. The psalm is Psalm 71. In you, O Lord, I have I taken refuge.
Let me never be put to shame.
In your righteousness, deliver me and set me free. Be my strong rock, a castle to keep me safe.
You are my prey and my stronghold.
Deliver me, my God, from the hand of the wicked.
From the clutches of the evildoer and the oppressor.
For you are my hope, O Lord God.
My confidence since I was young.
I have been sustained by you ever since I was born. From my mother's womb, you have been my strength. The second reading is from 1 Corinthians. If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends, but as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, that we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part, then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And for now, faith, hope, and love abide, these three, and the greatest of these is love. The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the fourth chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. They said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" He said to them, "Doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, 'Doctor, cure yourself,' and you will say, 'Do here also in your hometown the things that we have heard that you did in Capernaum.'" And he said, "Truly I tell you, no prophet is accepted in the prophet's hometown. But the truth is, there were many widows in Israel in the time of Elijah, when heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a severe famine all over the land. Yet Elijah was sent to none of them, except to a widow at Zarephath in Sidon. There were also many lepers in Israel at the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them were cleansed, except Naaman the Syrian." When they heard this, all in the synagogue were filled with rage. They got up, drove him out of the town, and led him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built, so that they might hurl him off the cliff. But he passed through the midst of them and went on his way. He went down to Capernaum, a city in Galilee, and was teaching them on the Sabbath. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. This past week, I had to write down the date on something, and when I wrote it down that day, it was January 25th, and it struck me that it had been a month since Christmas Day. I was quite surprised that a whole month had gone by already. Maybe you find it to be true that sometimes the days can be long, but the weeks and months go by quickly. We are already at the fourth Sunday after Epiphany. This seems startling to me. Part of it because the last couple of Sundays we've not been able to gather in person due to the ice that's been present on our steps and parking lot. But it seems like we just celebrated Epiphany. I'm deeply grateful for the gift of technology that has connected us even when we haven't been able to be together in person, that we're still able to hear God's word together and pray together. And I know that you have gotten to see me, but I haven't gotten to see you, and I've missed you. So welcome back. The last time we were together in the sanctuary for worship, it was the celebration of Epiphany. We read the story of the Magi from Matthew 2, how they followed the star to where Jesus was. We celebrated God revealing God's very self to the world through the Magi, signifying that Jesus had come for all nations and for all people. We thought about how the first hearers of Matthew's gospel would have been less than pleased that the first people God revealed God's self to were Gentiles, and not just your run-of-the-mill Gentiles, but extreme Gentiles, astrologers. From our vantage point, we aren't surprised. We're quite familiar with that story. We're also quite familiar with the fact that Jesus' mission all along to include Gentiles and welcome all people into God's loving embrace. I mean, that's why we are here today. We are Gentiles. And because of God's love and care revealed to us in Jesus Christ, we are able to be children of God. A A pastor colleague of mine tells the story that a few years ago, she and her daughter were sitting down to lunch after church, and she asked her daughter what she had learned in Sunday school. Her daughter hastily put down her fork and said in a very serious tone, "We learned that Jesus isn't Lutheran." So my colleague did what many modern parents would have done. She put it out on Facebook, and some of the comments she received were, "Of course not. Jesus is a Presbyterian." Someone said, "What are they going to tell her next, that he isn't even a Christian?" And then someone else said, "What kind of pastor approved that curriculum?" Well, she did. She was the pastor at that church. We know that Jesus was a Middle Eastern Jew. We all know this. But the strange thing is that somehow we imagine that Jesus was like us. And then we take it even further, and that we imagine that because he was like us, that we think he looked like us, and he thought like us, and that he had the same opinions and preferences as we do. This is how Jesus can very easily become, in our minds, a light-skinned, blue-eyed Christian American. Which, by the way, Jesus is none of those. He's not light-skinned, he's not blue-eyed. Jesus is not a Christian, and Jesus is not an American. What happens is that we take Jesus and we separate him from who he was and where he was from, and we put him into boxes that we create for him. This is why we think that Jesus votes the way that we do, or at the very least, that he roots for the same athletic teams that we do. We aren't alone in this idea of thinking that Jesus is like us in these ways, thinking that Jesus is our guy and that he's on our side. It actually goes back all the way to first century Christians and first century disciples. Even to the people we encounter in today's gospel lesson, to the people who knew Jesus before his public ministry began, the people in Nazareth. Today's gospel lesson is a continuation of last week's lesson. If we would have been together in person last week, we would have read the previous 10 verses, some of which say, "When Jesus came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read and read the scroll from the prophet Isaiah, which was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor.'" After Jesus rolled the scroll back up and gave it to the attendant, he sat down, and the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." This was good news for the people of Nazareth, not just because "today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing" might be the shortest sermon on record. This was good news for the people of Nazareth because they knew Jesus. He was Joseph's son, the kid from just down the road, the guy that they grew up with. They liked what they were hearing. They believe, like we all do, that these promises of Jesus, that Jesus being anointed to bring good news to the poor and to release the captives, to recover the sight of the blind, they believe, like we do, that these wonderful promises are primarily and maybe even exclusively for us. These promises are true for us, but the danger comes in when we think that they're only for us. How does Jesus respond? In true Jesus fashion, he turns everything upside down. He says no prophet is accepted in his hometown. He says, hey, remember Elijah? Which of course they do. Elijah was one of the greatest of the Hebrew prophets, second only to Moses. But Jesus reminds them, who did Elijah feed in a great famine? Not anyone in Nazareth, not anyone in Jerusalem or Capernaum, but instead a widow from Zarephath, which is a small town in Lebanon, not even in Israel. And then Jesus said, remember Elisha? Of course they do. Elisha was Elijah's partner in prophecy and was a remarkable miracle worker. But did he heal anybody in Israel? Not that Jesus brings up. Instead, Jesus says the only leper that Elisha healed was Naaman, the Syrian. And not just a Syrian, he was the greatest commander of the Syrian army, who were enemies of Israel. At this point, the people in Nazareth are outraged. They want Jesus thrown off a cliff. It wasn't that they had forgotten these details of Scripture. They're angry because Jesus is reminding them of these details, and he's using them to help interpret his ministry for them, the kind of ministry that he will have, the kind of life that he will continue to give. They were livid. If Jesus is our guy, why is he rooting for the other guy? So if he's with the other guy, then that means he can't be for us. As we know, Jesus escapes being thrown off the cliff, and how he does it is important to note. He passed through the midst of them and went on his way. He went through the middle. Jesus refused to be caught in an either-or trap. Jesus didn't and still doesn't think in terms of either or. Jesus thinks and lives in terms of all. Either or thinking is a human concoction. Insider-outsider thinking is a human creation. God didn't create these ways of thinking or living in the world. Humans did. And in Christ, God completely abolishes this way of thinking. God's love is not a pie, where if someone else gets a sliver, it means that other people get less. If God loves more and more and more people, it doesn't mean that God loves us any less. God's love is unconditional. It's inexhaustible, it's uncontainable, it's unending, it's limitless. And in Jesus Christ, God unites and brings together all people. Meaning that in Christ, in the kingdom of God, there are no longer insiders and outsiders. In God's love, everybody is an insider. Outsiders do not exist to God. This was a radical and challenging shift then, as it is now. The people of God, those of us who are called to steward God's love and grace, far too often we have wanted to monopolize it and keep it to ourselves. From its birth, the church has put up walls to separate insiders and outsiders. Every generation deciding who the insiders and who the outsiders are. But Scripture and Jesus make it very clear that any human distinction that we can come up with does not exist to God. There is no us versus them in Christ. Anything we can come up with that we think would make someone less worthy of belonging to God or less worthy to be loved by God, gender, age, who we love, how much money we make, our physical abilities and challenges, our nationality, where we grew up. One or all of these might make us less worthy in the eyes of some, but they don't matter to God. They never have, and they never will. Nothing can make us unworthy of God's love and grace. Through his life, death, and resurrection, Jesus reveals God's love and grace for all people. In the waters of baptism, God names us and claims us as God's own children. And any outsider identity that we may have carried is completely and forever washed away. Belonging for us and for all people can only be found in baptism and at the table, where outsiders do not exist. Brothers and sisters, God's love has always been and will always be unconditional, inexhaustible, unending, uncontainable, and limitless. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Thank you.
Living together in hope and trust, let us confess our faith with the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit,
born of the Virgin Mary,
suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead.
On the third day he rose again.
He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
You may be seated, as at this time I would like to install our new council members. So if Kim and Herbert and Jane will join me at the font. Joe Davis isn't feeling well today. Are we online yet? So Joe is not joining us online, but I know in his heart he makes these promises as well. And even though they can't hear it, I do want to acknowledge the four council members whose term ended at the end of 2021. Lynn Dennis, our president, Mike Wilson, vice president, Eddie Heitman, and Judy Thomason. And I want to offer a brief word, particularly about Lynn. Lynn was a remarkable and faithful council president. I could not have asked for a better council president during my first year of ministry, my first year at Holly Grove, and in the midst of a pandemic. He made himself available to me anytime. He prayed for me and continues to pray for me every day. And he was a great mentor for me, and I'm very, very grateful for his service. Yes. Neil, do you need to be installed as president? Okay, well, come on up. This is my first time getting to install folks, so usually they do okay. Who's our vice president? I can't remember. David. Everybody on council comes up every year? Okay, well, if you are on council, Robert, come on up. Johnny. Am I forgetting anyone else? I'll make this a little more seamless next year. The following people have been elected to positions of leadership. We give thanks for their willingness to serve. In baptism, we are welcomed into the body of Christ, and we are sent to share in the mission of God. We rejoice now that these sisters and brothers will lead us in our common life and our mutual mission as a congregation. Chip is our treasurer. Johnny, Robert, Jane, Herbert. Kim is our financial secretary. Neil is being installed as president, and David as vice president. A reading from 1 Corinthians. There are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. You have been elected to positions of leadership and trust in this congregation. You are to see that the words and deeds of this household of faith bear witness to God, who gathers us together as one with the whole church. You are to seek to involve all members of this congregation in worship, learning, witness, service, and support, so that the mission of Christ is carried out in this congregation, in the wider church, in this community, and in the whole world. You are to be faithful in your specific area of serving, that the Spirit who empowers you is glorified. You are to be examples of faith, active in love, fostering peace and harmony and mutual understanding in this congregation. On behalf of your sisters and brothers in Christ, I ask you, will you accept and faithfully carry out the duties of the offices to which you have been elected? If so, say, I will, and I ask God to help me. People of God, will you support these, your elected leaders, and will you share in the mutual ministry that Christ has given to all who are baptized? If so, say, we will, and we ask God to help us. I now declare you as installed officers and council members of this congregation. Almighty God bless you and direct your days and your deeds in peace, that you may be faithful servants of Christ. Amen. You may go back to your seats.
Of the Lord is poured out upon us in abundance. So we are bold to pray for the church, the world, and all that God has made. Guide your church in the ways of faith, hope, and love. Cultivate ministries and communities of compassion that bear witness to your enduring presence among us. God of grace, hear our prayer. Teach us to live in humility on the earth. Curb arrogance that leads to destruction of natural resources and disregard for future generations. Inspire the work of scientists who urge us to live in harmony with your creation. God of grace, hear our prayer. You are the refuge of all who seek hope and freedom. Accompany immigrants, refugees, and asylum seekers who cross borders to find safety and opportunity. Embolden leaders to draft compassion policies on behalf of migrants and those who assist them. God of grace, hear our prayer. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Comfort with your love all who are lonely, fearful, or brokenhearted. Sustain the hope of all those who suffer in body or spirit, especially Gary, Dean, Teresa, Jean, Gary and Judy, Bill, Raven and Tim, Duty, John, Mike, Carolina, Neil, Latifa, and Bob. God of grace, your grace falls upon young and old alike. Bless the gifts of children in this congregation and in this community. Give us humble hearts to listen to them. Inspire us with their laughter, their insight, and their curiosity. God of grace, hear our prayer. We praise you for those who have gone before us and now see you face to face, especially Robin Beck and Joanne Turner. Abide with us in this mortal life until we rest in the arms of your never-ending love. God of grace, hear our prayer.
Since we have such great hope in your promises, O God, we lift these and all of our prayers to you in confidence and faith. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. I invite you to share a sign of God's peace with those around you.
Let us pray. Blessed are you, O God, sovereign of the universe. You offer us new beginnings and guide us on our journey. Lead us to your table, nourish us with this heavenly food, and prepare us to carry your love to a hungry world. In the name of Christ our light. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. By the leading of a star, he was shown forth to all nations. In the waters of the Jordan, you proclaimed him your beloved Son. And in the miracle of water turned into wine, he revealed your glory. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup and gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Come to God's table. There is a place for you and enough for all.
Thank you.
the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray. We give you thanks, gracious God, for we have feasted on the abundance of your love. Send us to bring good news and to proclaim your favor to all. Strengthen with the richness of your grace and your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Amen.
Let us say our mission statement. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and responding by connection to a needy world.
Into a weary world. Share the good news.
Thanks be to God.